you mentioned smog. These, and earlier you mentioned about the Freon in the cars. What? I mean, this is in, you know, direct force to the ozone, whatever. I mean, I know when you go into a city, the smog is bad or whatever. Do you think we should try to do more research on maybe invent a new car or go to maybe electric cars to stop this? Or according to theories, that this contributes to global warming and the cutting the rainforest, which depletes the CO2 consumption and stuff. Do you think this is any? Do you believe that this is true, or what is your standpoint on global warming?
I have trouble believing everything that the scientists tell me. I believe that they take bits and pieces of things and they make something big out of it. I don't really think that a lot of these impacts that have been mentioned is actually taking effect. It could possibly be, but just like we said earlier with the Freon and the fluorocarbons, a backyard swimming pool emits fluorocarbons, but they've not told you can't have a backyard swimming pool. The ocean emits fluorocarbons, but they haven't said, well, we've got to dry up the ocean, because we know that we have to have that to survive. And from what I understand, a backyard swimming pool in the summertime, the heat, the evaporation with the chlorine and stuff that's added to the backyard swimming pool, there's more fluorocarbons comes out of that swimming pool in a day's time than a mechanic at an automobile service center will ever emit in a day's time from servicing air conditioners. So I think someone come up with a new type Freon, and they was having trouble getting it on the market. So they had some friends in Congress or had some friends in somewhere, and they all got together and said, well, let's make it illegal for them to use this so they'll have to buy mine. And I believe a lot of the things, the regulations that the government has put on us, is because of some lobbyist somewhere wanting their way and seeing a way for them to get rich or get them a name for themselves. And because of that, we're paying more tax dollars, and we're suffering the consequences even more than we were. As far as the global warming, I don't see how we can really having a global warming, because I get just as cold in the winter time as I did when I was a little kid, and it's just as warm today in the summertime as it was when I was a kid. I don't see any difference, and I can talk to my parents, and they can. This past a big snow that we had, I've talked to people that's 70 years old, and they can't remember ever seeing that kind of snow. So apparently, if we're having a global warming, we wouldn't be having the snows. The folks up in the northern states still wouldn't be having to plow out, to dig out of snowstorms every year. So I don't see it. Of course, I don't have a college education like a lot of folks, but I'm not convinced that just because someone comes over the TV or they have some big special announcement saying that we've done something or something is taking place, just because they say it doesn't necessarily mean I believe it. And until if the icebergs are melting and the ice caps are melting, I don't see it. I've been to the ocean all my life, on and off every year or so, to the ocean, and it looks the same. It don't look any bigger or any smaller. than it ever has. I do know that it's still supporting life, and it's still full of fish, and it still has all the different creatures swimming around in it. It don't look like it's changed to me.
The ideas of this clear cutting trees, I don't know how, you know, now when I first started hearing about it, they said it was bad for the environment or whatever, and I'm sure it's bad not replanting trees. We need to replant trees, but a lot of the biologists say that it's good for animals because it brings in a lot more food for the animals than would be if it was just a plain forest. What was the views when you first started hearing about it, like when you was a kid or anything? Did you ever hear anything about it?
Well, the only clear cutting or clean cutting that I know of is they would do a forest or a small patch of pines, and they'd do that just to eliminate the pine beetles. I don't know if, you know, all the other aspects of it, but I have saw some hills in some of the counties south of us where they have went in there and they've wiped out a big mountainside of timber. But a few months later I went by and I noticed that they had replanted. I do know this, that you take a patch of woods, you used to see it a lot over in the management area, and you could take a small forest fire had swept through there, not a major one that destroyed all the greenery, but one that burned all the underbrush, and have a forest fire come through there. And the very next year, or the year after that, you have a bumper crop of the wild blueberries, or the wild, what we call huckleberries. And so I think elimination of some of that stuff is necessary, and I believe that's nature's way of replenishing the undergrowth. If you notice on TV when it shows the big rainforest, the trees grow up and they bush out so much that it actually shades the floor level of the forest so much that there's not a lot of stuff grows there. And when they go and cut some of that out, it causes things to begin to grow down there, which I don't know if it's good or bad. But a lot of times, some of those things are beneficial to nature itself. A forest fire, I think, is a natural phenomenon. There's been a lot of forest fires caused by lightning where man was nowhere around. But the next year, there's benefits from that. Now, some of these widespread forest fires, you know, there might be a lot of damage involved, but I believe nature has a way, or God's working through nature has a way of refurbishing some of the old, dead, dried up stuff. I know that when a tree sheds its leaves and they fall on the ground and they begin to rot, it gives food for the soil and makes the soil richer. But a lot of times it gets so thick, maybe God has a means, or nature's means, of refurbishing it so that some of the stuff can grow. So clear cutting, I don't really know a lot about the clear cutting of the forest, but a lot of things need a new birth as far as another start.
You mentioned the management area, so we can, everybody will know what you're talking about. Where is this located?
It's located about 12 or 15 miles south of here. The Chockalaka Management Area is what I was referring to, which is just south of Piedmont, between Piedmont and Heflin.
There's been recent studies on these forest fires, and I did my history report on, you know, fire management. And they're, you know, at first they, you know, thought it was a bad thing, but now they're learning that, you know, forest fires are good for the environment. and the Indians used to use them to clear out the underbrush so they could, you know, control the animals and hunting and stuff. Well, I have questions.
You know, you mentioned global warming earlier.
Yeah.
Something occurred to me. You know, the Earth's crust or the Earth's surface, I would imagine that we've always had volcanoes. And, you know, you would think that if there's, we would have noticed a global warming before now, if there was one taking place. If, you know, remember, what was it, Mount St. Helens, or what, when it erupted, and how that it blackened the sky around there for a big area?
All the ash.
You know, there was an impact there for a time, but I don't, as far as I can tell, we're not still experiencing an impact because of it, but I'm sure history would prove that there's always been volcanoes. That's always happened. And it would seem like if we're having a global warming now because of the smog or the dust in the air or the blockage of the nutrients or whatever we need from the sunlight, looks like we've been experiencing that all along rather than just now. I mean, to me that's just an encouragement of my thought that I think a lot of this is something dreamed up that's not really happening.
They, you know, mentioned global warming again. They kind of think that these forest fires contributed to global warming. But now they're changing their mind, you know, saying that they're kind of good, you know, it helps replenish the forest. And pines actually grow better when there's a fire. And do you think that these scientists are a little wishy-washy and just kind of go with the trend, or do you think is it bad to just let these fires just ravage the forest, or should we just try to control it some?
Well, the Forestry Service around here, as long as I can remember, when they had a forest fire, they would find an area where they could make a fire break, and then they'd start a fire on that and burn it back toward the other fire so it would burn itself out without just destroying the whole thousands of acres. So, you know, they've been able to control certain fires pretty well in this area. But you mentioned the scientists being wishy-washy. I think that they are, to an extent that what's popular at the time, that's what they'll go with. And I know they've got a lot of time and study invested in their profession, and there's been a lot of good came from the knowledge they've obtained. But I think a lot of times they'll get little tidbits of information and try to make something big out of it. And I think maybe some of this ozone stuff and this global warming stuff. Too, we've got a vice president that is real environmentally conscious at the time now. And I think maybe that the scientists know that, and they can see some research money coming from the government, you know, because we've got people in the office that are real environmentally conscious people. And that might, you know, there might be a lot of talk concerning that. You mentioned electric cars earlier. I've saw and read in magazines about some electric cars that have been tested and that sort of thing. Right now, they're not very much they're not efficient. As far, you know, I've saw some that are able to obtain the speeds necessary to be able to commute. But when those batteries go dead, they've still got to recharge them. And that's energy. And a lot of, if they're electric and they have to be recharged with electricity, then they've got to generate the electricity to recharge the batteries in those electric cars. So you might have eliminated carbon monoxide poisoning from the atmosphere as far as the emissions from the cars. But what you've done, you've increased the fuel consumption for electricity, which most of that is generated either nuclear or coal. And so you might be able to eliminate a problem here, but you've created another problem here on the other side. But right now, electric cars are so inefficient that you couldn't go, interstate travel would be out of the question. The furthest distance I saw with electric cars, maybe 300 miles. And then you have to stop and recharge, and there's no telling how long that would take.
Seems like they said it was like 8 to 12 hours you had to recharge in 3 hours.